I'm going to read just a portion of the story of the walk to Emmaus. Verse 25, "And Jesus said to the disciples, Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things, and then enter into his glory? And then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all of the scriptures." Today is the second in what will be a five-part series of communion meditations that will be taken from this story called The Walk to Emmaus in the 24th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. And last month we looked at this story and the first several verses leading up to what I read today. We saw how the disciples were grieving over the loss of Jesus. They had been with Jesus. Jesus had been a part of their life. They had put their hope and their trust into the ministry of Jesus and what they thought he would be bringing to their life and to their nation. And then Jesus was crucified and dead and buried. And they didn't know what to make of that, but they were in a sense of grief over the loss of the companionship and the leadership of Jesus. And we looked at that time about in our own lives, how we appreciate the grief that we go through when we lose sometimes hope of what we thought our life would be like, or the loss of a loved one. And then we also look at how we have to grieve over our own sense of sinfulness, our awareness of our being separated from God. And it leads us to a point where we cry out to God for mercy as we take responsibility for our own life. Today, we want to look at how Jesus responded to these two disciples in their sense of grief. He listened to all that they had to say, and now they're going to listen to him. He's going to have something to share with them. And we want to see what that was, what Jesus had to say to them. Now, all of this that we're looking at is against this backdrop of trying to make the Eucharist to be the way of life. If you were with us on the first Sunday in August, you remember that we looked at this whole story and how that in some denominations, some churches, they refer to the service of Holy Communion as a Eucharistic service, as a service of Eucharist. And that Greek word means thanksgiving. And we are looking in these passages for a way of understanding that is a way of life. A life of thanksgiving to God for all that He is and all that He's done in our life. And how we find our purpose in life through God. How we can find our purpose as we relate to one another through our understanding of what God is showing us in the service of communion, to make the Eucharist to be a way of life. As we look at it today, we see that Jesus listened to what these people had to say, and then He responded to them. And how did He respond? He shared with them the Word of God. He shared with them from the Scriptures all that had been said about the prophecies that there would come a Messiah, the Anointed One of God, into their midst. And that this person would lead them back to God, back to a relationship with God. Jesus used the Scripture to reveal who He was, so that these men could understand that what they were experiencing was just a small little part of a bigger picture. Their focus was on their grief. Jesus wanted them to open up and see the bigger picture, the full context of what God was doing, so they could then see how their life fit into the bigger plan of God. And one of the things that we can see from that in our own life is that when we go through difficulties, we go through circumstances that may be unpleasant, that the Scriptures are teaching us not to ask why, like why me, as though we don't deserve bad things to happen in our life, but rather ask the question, what can I learn about me and about God's love for me and about God's provision for me in this circumstance, in this difficulty that I'm going through? And that's what Jesus tried to teach these disciples walking on the road to Emmaus. Don't say, why me? Why is this happening to me? But ask the question, what would God have me to understand and to know and to learn from this experience? And when they got that, they got free. When they got that knowledge, when they got that understanding, it enabled them to see the big picture and how they fit into God's plan. Got their eyes off themselves and their eyes back on God where they belong. Because there's power in the Word of God to make us see God's purpose. I remember my friend George Morris telling a story one time about when he had been invited to Australia to preach. And while he was down there, his host wanted him to meet with a very prominent couple. They were prominent in society, but not in the church. They were not a part of the church. George said he went to see these people in their house, which actually was an apartment on a very big, tall building. And as he came into their apartment, the first thing that George noticed was one whole wall was a mural. And George says it kind of looked like somebody just threw cans of paint against the wall when you first looked at it. And the woman noticed that he was staring at this wall, and she asked him, do you know what that is? And he said, no. And she said, well, step back over here. So he stepped to the other side of the room so he could get a full view of this whole wall. And he studied it, and he looked at it, and then he could see it. And he turned to the woman, and he said, it's a dove. And she says, you're right. My husband and I commissioned an artist to paint that mural of a dove because we're very committed to peace. In fact, we have just come from the other side of our country where we participated in a protest against nuclear weapons coming into our country because we're very committed to peace. And then George responded to them. He says, you know, the Bible uses doves a lot as illustrations. And the man spoke up and said, oh, we're not interested in those old stories. But the woman protested. She said, no, he's our guest. Let him tell us his stories. So he told them the story about how Moses released the dove, and when it came back with a twig, he knew that the water was receding and the flood was over. And then George told them the story about how when Jesus was being baptized in the river, the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove came down and landed on Jesus. And the woman said, well, why did it do that? And George said, because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And then he continued to share the gospel with them, and they received it. They were committed to peace. They were very concerned about peace in their lifetime. The Word of God was brought into their life where they could see the bigger picture, that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. That's what the Word of God does for you and I. It brings us to a time of understanding what God wants to do in our lives, where we are. As I think about this walk to Emmaus that Jesus was taking with these two disciples in his conversation about the Scriptures, it makes me think of a similar experience that Jesus had, and it's recorded in the fourth chapter of Luke. This is the beginning in the Gospel of Luke of Jesus' ministry. And it says that in verse 16 that Jesus comes to his hometown of Nazareth, where he grew up, and when it came time to worship, he had come to the church, the sanctuary, as was his custom. And as a part of their worship service, somebody would read Scripture. And when that time came in the service, Jesus stood up and he went and he took the scroll where the scriptures had been written and he read a portion of the text from the prophet Isaiah. And Jesus read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has appointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then he rolled up the scroll and he gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Today, the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. The good news that we celebrate as the people of God when we gather together in the sanctuary on Sunday morning is today the scripture is fulfilled in our hearing. Because we speak the Word of God in this service. We sing the Word of God in this service. We pray the Word of God in this service. And if we will receive the Word of God, it will be fulfilled in our life and our hearing. Is that hard for you to believe? It was hard for the people in Nazareth to believe because when Jesus spoke these words, they thought that some other captives at some other point in time were going to be set free. But Jesus came to tell them in that place, here and now, the captives are set free. The oppressed go free. The blind can see that there is help for the poor. Can you believe that this morning? That God is in this place in the form of His Word. And as we celebrate together in worship and in communion, the presence of God is here to speak to our needs. I believe that until we are prepared in our lives to deal with the reality of the Word of God speaking to our hearts and to our minds, until we're at that point, we cannot experience God in the bread and the cup. Because God comes to us first in His Word. And as we listen to the Word, it is fulfilled in our life. We ask ourselves questions, or we may ask ourselves questions, how can God meet my need today? What is there that's going on in my life? Where am I struggling? Where am I willing to let God speak to me, to make me whole, to bring me the peace that I need in my life? As we celebrate the communion service, we lift up the Word of God. And I ask you this morning to listen to that Word of God perhaps in a new way, to listen to it in a way that when this service is over, you can say, "The Word was fulfilled in my hearing." It's not just some ritual that we do where we eat a piece of bread and take a sip or dip it in the wine and we perform a ritual that the church holds on to. Rather, this can be a time in which the Word of God becomes living and achieves its purpose in your life. The writer of the Hebrews talked about that. In the fourth chapter of Hebrews, it talks about the power of the Word of God to reach us where we are in our lives. Indeed, the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing until it divides soul from spirit, joints from marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. That's the Word of God. If you will receive the Word of God and let the Word of God touch your life, Every one of us, as we gather together, there's points in our life that we're struggling with. There might be physical needs in our life. There may be financial needs in our life. There may be emotional needs in our life. The Word of God has spoken to us that if we'll listen to it, we'll receive it, it's fulfilled in our life, and we leave this place as new people. And the Word of God touches us in the very depths of our soul and makes us whole. Think about what we say about the Word of God in the service of communion. We lift up the bread. And in this service of communion, as we lift up the bread, we say, on the night in which the Lord Jesus gave Himself up for us, He took the bread, and He blessed it, and He broke it, and He gave it to His disciples, and He said, "This is My body, which is broken for you." Let's stop right there for a moment. You know that when Jesus died, He died as a sacrifice, as a ransom for your sins. But the talk about sin, the effect of the sin in your life and the death of Jesus, is the next part of the service that we do of communion. We talk about His blood. Why was His body broken if His blood is what sanctifies you from sin? His body was broken because Jesus experienced every form of shame, humiliation, hatred, and violence known to man. There is no emotion, no rejection, no abandonment that you can experience that Jesus has not already experienced. There's no forgiveness issue, no relationship issue that is tearing at your heart this morning that is not embodied in the broken body of Jesus, and He says He allowed His body to be broken for you. Are you tired of carrying that burden, that struggle you have, be it with a physical ailment in your life, be it with a relationship that is breaking your heart? Are you tired of carrying that? Are you dealing with forgiveness issues where you've been hurt and you need to let go of that and forgive those who have hurt you, that you can experience the full, refreshing, cool breeze of love in your life from God? Whatever it may be that's going on in your life, can you hear the good news this morning? It is embodied in the life of Jesus, which was broken for you. And as you share together this morning in this bread which we will break, you share in the body of Christ which was broken for you. Will you receive that as good news and allow His Word to be fulfilled in your life as He heals you and makes you whole and speaks to you about the struggles that you're going through in your life? And then as we go on in the service, we lift up the cup and we remember that when the supper was over, Jesus took the cup and again He returned thanks. And then He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant poured out in My blood for the forgiveness of your sins." There is nothing that you have done in your life that's not covered by the blood of Jesus. The Scriptures confront us all. We all have sinned. We all have fallen short of the glory of God. We all stand in need of forgiveness. But the Scriptures also tell us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This is how He proved His love for us, that He would bear upon His back the price of our sin, our separation from God. He allowed Himself to be nailed to a cross, pierced in the side, to see His blood flow down on the ground, that you might be reconciled to God and find forgiveness of your sins. And the Scriptures tell us that if we will confess our sins to God, that God is faithful and God is just And God will forgive us of our sins. And He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Will you hear the good news of the Word of God this morning and allow that Word to be fulfilled in your hearing, that you have forgiveness of your sins, that you may experience that forgiveness as we share together this morning in the bread and the cup. Jesus spent time with these two men walking to this community called Emmaus and changed their life forever. Because as He spoke to them, they heard what He had to say and they allowed the Word of God to be fulfilled in their hearing. And it changed them forever. When we come and gather together as the church, as the believers in this sanctuary, we can come because we think it's the right thing to do. And we can come and perform a ritual that the church keeps. Or we can come and let the Word of God speak to our hearts. And we can receive the Word of God and experience God speaking directly to each of us as we share in this cup and bread of communion. And we can be transformed as the Word is fulfilled in our hearing. If you have ears to hear, I invite you to hear as God speaks to your hearts this morning. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come now this morning to share in this cup and in this bread, and we give You thanks for these elements of Holy Communion, of our fellowship with You. Father, I ask You to speak to every heart gathered in this sanctuary this morning. Call them by name. You know where they're hurting. You know where they're struggling. You know where the captives need to be set free, where the oppressed need to be set free, where the poor need to find help, where the blind, as to Your purposes, need sight. And Father, I ask You by the power of Your Holy Spirit to speak to every soul gathered here this morning. That this not be just another ritual that we keep in this church, but rather that this service be the fulfillment of Your Word which we have heard this day. This we ask in Jesus' name, the One who came to set us free. Amen. Amen. As we prepare to share together in the cup this morning, let's sing that chorus from Father Parris one more time. We'll glorify Thy name. And I'll invite you to come and to kneel at the altar and to commune with your Heavenly Father and speak with Him and let Him speak to you.